Welcome, everybody. Tonight we have chapter 24 of 2 Samuel, Take Away the Iniquity. And this occurs at a point where David is now an old man, but he succumbs to the temptation from Satan to conduct an unauthorized census of the armies of Israel. His sin was pride, but when he had committed that offense against God, his heart was smitten, his conscience was bothered, and he immediately repented. He found the mercy of the Lord, even as we can go to Christ for forgiveness and reconciliation. We often sing that hymn, "In the hour of trial, Jesus, plead for me." And because we can find grace in His sight, because we can find forgiveness and reconciliation, we have that hymn also, "I need Thee, precious Jesus, for I am full of sin." We are dependent upon His mercy and His grace. So tonight, Brother Tom, would you read this passage, please? It's 2 Samuel 24, verses 10 through 25.
"And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came unto the prophet Gad, David's seer, saying, Go and say unto David, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things, choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David and told him, and said unto him, Shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land, or wilt thou flee 3 months before thine enemies while they pursue thee, or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land? Now advise and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let us fall now into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, and let me not fail into the hand of man, fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, It is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arunah the Jebusite. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, Lo, I have sinned. And I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded, and Arunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Arunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arunah said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arunah said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice, and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Aruna as a king give unto the king. And Aruna said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. And the king said unto Aruna, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel.
Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your great mercy that you've promised to forgive us when we confess our sins. And we thank you for this example of David, how he immediately came with a contrite heart when his conscience was smitten. And help us to be sensitive to your will, to your word, that we might be quick to repent when we go astray. We thank you for your faithfulness, for your mercy, for your grace. And we pray that you would apply even the lesson of this passage tonight to our hearts and our lives, that we might be better servants of thine. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This is about the year 970 BC. David is now 70 years old. He's been on the throne for 40 years. And though he had learned much in his years of faithfulness, he was still a man. And just as the Apostle Paul acknowledged that he often did things that he knew he shouldn't do, and he didn't do some of the things that he knew he should do, David too, a man after God's own heart, had his human flaws as well. And though his great faith is seen in all of his psalms, where he described his experiences, his praises, his prayers, his lamentations, and even some prophecies regarding the coming of Messiah, nevertheless, David was a mere man. And his example, even this sin of pride at an old age, is a warning to us that we must be humble and contrite. We must acknowledge our dependence upon the grace of the Lord. For we know too that though we are not what we once were, we still are not yet what we should be. And the Lord commends his servants, his people, to strive for holiness, to be ye holy, for I am holy. And thus we are dependent upon his grace. The earlier part of this chapter indicates that the anger of the Lord was once again kindled against Israel, for he had prompted David to number the armies of Israel. The translators of the New King James Version capitalize that he in that verse, as if a reference to God. But 1 Chronicles 21 verse 25 reports that it was Satan who stood up against Israel and prompted David to number the armies. So this, though some see it as God instigating the census, we know that the Lord delegates certain authority, even certain power to tempt even the elect at times, to trouble us, to tempt us, to test us. But although the Lord is the one who delegates that authority to Satan, it is Satan's wickedness, it is Satan's evil plan. It cannot be said that the Lord is the creator or the encourager of evil. But nevertheless, he works through even our failings, our sins, for his glory and ultimately for our good, that we might be cleansed, that we might be sanctified, and that we might be made ready for that great day when we shall be forever in his presence, free from sin, free from sorrow, free from suffering, and free from death. So at this time, David reports that his heart was smitten. He had a tender conscience. For though he had been motivated by pride to number the armies, he immediately recognized that he had sinned, that he had done foolishly. And this, of course, was a violation of Exodus 30, verse 12, where God had instructed that the armies of Israel be numbered as a ransom, implying that the people of Israel belong to God. But David's unauthorized numbering of the armies, as in his pride, a self-reliance upon his own power, his own natural ability, even perhaps taking some credit for the growth in the power and in the might of Israel, was an offense against God, because God was their leader, God was their king. And David had been delegated that authority to lead the people, but he was not to take the glory for himself. For the Lord will share his glory with no one, not even a king, not even King David. So David's heart was smitten, but God in his mercy sent Gad, the prophet. He's described here as a seer, one who sees the future. And Gad was sent by the Lord to confront David, to remind even King David that there were consequences of his sin. David had certainly learned that lesson with his great sin involving Bathsheba years before. But although David never again turned to idolatry or adultery and murder, nevertheless, he had other times where he did give in to sin, the temptations of the flesh, the temptation of pride. And this should be a reminder to us that though we may have conquered sin in one aspect of our lives, we must be ever alert, ever on guard against other failings, other sins that might creep in to our daily thought, to our daily words, and to our deeds. Gad was sent unto David, and the prophet of the Lord issued an option to King David. The consequences of David's sinful action of numbering the people, implying that he was the one who owned the people of God. Gad offered David to choose one of the three forms of punishment. He offered 7 years of famine, or 3 months of pursuit by their enemies, by opposing armies. Or, thirdly, David could choose 3 days of pestilence. And in the choice that David made, we see his heart. We see that he chose the third, determining to be dependent upon the mercy of God rather than the unpredictable reaction or treatment by man. He trusted in the mercy of the Lord. If he had chosen the 7 years of famine, in all probability, David and his family and all the wealthy ones in Israel would have been spared the suffering that would have fallen upon the rest of the people. For they would have had the resources to sustain themselves even in times of famine. If he had chosen the second option, the 3 years of flight, the pursuit by enemy armies, that would have brought death as well, but primarily death to the armies, to the soldiers of Israel. And again, David and his family would have been largely spared from any evil consequences of his own actions. For by this time in David's life, he was prohibited for from going directly into battle. And thirdly, the option for 3 days of pestilence. David understood that a pestilence in the land, rampant disease, was statistically a more random judgment upon the nation. That judgment of God that could potentially have affected not only the common people, but even David and his family. So he chose the third, the 3 days of pestilence, trusting in the mercy of the Lord. And this, again, indicates David's concern for the people. He did not wish to exempt himself, to use his advantage, his power, and his authority to escape the judgment that was the making of his own actions. He admitted to the prophet Gad that he had sinned greatly, that he had done foolishly. And this was an act of genuine repentance. It was not mere remorse. It was true repentance, an evidence of a contrite heart, as his conscience was smitten before the Lord. And as he acknowledged that he had sinned, that he had done foolishly, he admitted also to Gad that he was in a great strait. The three choices that he was given involved potential for much death and suffering. Indeed, 70,000 Israelites died in that pestilence. And it was throughout the entire land of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba. But as the angel of the Lord, the death angel, approached Jerusalem, God determined that it was enough. He commanded the angel to stay, to cease in his judgment, and thus the rest of the population was spared. But here we read further of Gad's word unto David. He delivered the word of the Lord unto David that he was to go to the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite and to offer a sacrifice, burnt offerings and peace offerings unto the Lord. This would have been very welcome news to David. For by instructing David to offer a sacrifice, this was an indication that God had heard his plea, that he was going to grant forgiveness and deliverance from the pestilence. Because the scripture makes it clear that God would not accept the offerings or the sacrifice of one whom he intended to destroy. So David saw hope in that instruction from Gad, and he obediently went to the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. David approached the Jebusite leader, for we read in verse 23 that he was a king, probably a descendant of the kings of the Jebusites whom David had conquered nearly 30 years before. And yet this Araunah was now apparently a very loyal subject of David. He bowed down himself on the ground and inquired of King David why he had come to his threshing floor, to his place of work. And David explained that he had come there to offer sacrifice unto the Lord so that the famine might be stopped, or so that the pestilence might be stopped, and so that the judgment would cease. And Araunah the Jebusite, by nature a foreigner, immediately says unto David, take all these oxen, I'll give you the land, anything you need to offer unto God. And on top of that, he even delivered his desire for the form of a prayer, that David's God, the Lord, would hear his prayer and that the pestilence would be ceased. So David responds. He says, "Nay, I will pay for the threshing floor and for the oxen." He would not offer any sacrifices or worship that cost him nothing. And that's a principle for us as well, that we must recognize our need to support the work of the Lord, to serve Him, not just with our words, not just with our presence in a worship service, but with our resources. For we are stewards of what God has entrusted to us. And we have a responsibility to support the work of the Lord and to support His servants. This response by David involves a payment. 2 Samuel 24 tells us that he paid 50 shekels of silver. And some see a contradiction or a discrepancy in the scripture. For in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 25, we read that he paid 600 shekels of gold. But there's a very simple explanation for the difference in the two amounts. 50 shekels of silver, roughly $600 in modern currency, would have been the payment that David provided for the oxen. The 600 shekels of gold, approximately $588,000 in modern currency, was the price that he paid for the ownership of the land, the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And we see the significance of this purchase. For not only did it fulfill Gad's instruction from the word of God to David to conduct a sacrifice, to offer burnt offerings and peace offerings, this threshing floor of Araunah was the very same spot on Mount Moriah where 1,000 years earlier Abraham had offered up his son Isaac, willingly ready to surrender his only son to the instruction for a sacrifice to the holy God. And that action was a test of his faith, a test which Abraham passed with flying colors. And as he prepared to smite Isaac, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham, "Stop," for he had recognized that Abraham was truly obedient to his word. God spared the son Isaac, the son of promise. And it was that same location on Mount Moriah where 1,000 years after David, the Lord Jesus Christ would shed his own precious blood for the redemption, for the salvation of all who will repent and believe. It was that very place that in the next generation, King Solomon would construct the temple. And this then was the initial sacrifice. The initial offerings by David became the first fruits, the beginning of what would be many more sacrifices of worship and praise to the God of heaven. So Araunah joined in the commitment by King David to worship. He rejoiced, like David, that the hand of judgment had been stayed against Israel. And David offered his sacrifices, his peace offerings, on that threshing floor of Araunah. We must recognize that we too have a responsibility to praise the Lord for the way in which He has withheld His judgment against us. Though deserving of His wrath, He has exercised His grace, His mercy unto us. David desired that he be forgiven, that his iniquity be taken away. In Psalm 51, in reference to his great sin against God in his adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah, he had desired that his heart would be cleansed, that he would be washed white as snow. And though he was forgiven for that, as we saw this morning, nevertheless, there were long-lasting consequences. And there are always consequences of our sins as we violate the commandment of the Lord. But at the same time, there is great mercy. There is great grace. He is a loving God. He's a merciful God. And like David, we can find forgiveness. We can find reconciliation. We can find a restoration of that fellowship and that joy and that peace that comes through a right relationship, a submission to the Word of God, and that close personal walk with our Lord and our Savior. David was smitten in his heart. His conscience was pricked. And thus, he immediately repented. He turned away from that sin of pride. And thus, the judgment upon the people was stayed. God mercifully withheld the destruction. Because of the intercession of David, David said that these sheep, these people that God had entrusted him with, they had done nothing. The prideful action, the foolishness was by David himself. And thus he petitioned God that the judgment would come upon him and his house, his father's house, his family, rather than upon the rest of the people. But again, God mercifully stayed the judgment. The pestilence was put to an end. And David's close relationship with his God was restored. We, like David, must be quick to repent. Many times we sing that hymn, "We have not known thee as we ought." And this should remind us of the urgency of remaining close to the Lord, remaining diligent in the study of His Word, seeking the illumination and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit of God to direct our steps, to give us discernment, to provide awareness of those avenues of escape when we do come under temptation, and to realize the victory in Jesus that we have when we follow His example, when we do His will, and when we obey His Word. May we be quick to repent. May we delve into His Word and by His grace apply it to our daily lives, that we might be faithful and obedient servants. Amen. Do we have any thoughts tonight regarding take away the iniquity?